You're watching Logo, the only channel that exists. Now back to our Behind the Music special on Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Dykes.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Dykes, all lesbian rock band, artistic revolutionaries, and cultural icons that eclipsed every other musical act of their era. But before their meteoric rise to fame, the trio had humble beginnings. Vassar College, fall 2044, three young lesbians arrived on campus to one day form the most unlikely group of people to ever make music together.
We were just a couple girls with too much time on our hands.
Cassidy Stewart, lead vocalist and granddaughter of icon Kristen Stewart. She was a rebel, a womanizer, and a celebrated shit starter.
She was constantly living under the shadow of her grandmother. She never felt like she was enough. As her professor, I knew her to be difficult.
Hey, professor!
Yes, Cassidy, do you have a question?
No, I just think you're fucking pathetic. I'm outie. If anybody wants to find me, I'll be hotboxing the guidance counselor's office.
The other members were just as rebellious. There was Imogen Bumperschnoot of the Bumperschnoot Media Empire.
Imagine a fetus playing her own umbilical cord like a harp. I mean, she didn't do that, but imagine. Or should I say Imogen? Imogen, why are you late?
Oi, I was inventing a new music note. Cool, isn't it?
Really? A new note? Then why don't you play it for the class?
Are you daft? I've been humming the note since I walked in. Maybe your ears are too small and unrefined to hear it. You're fucking pathetic.
The third was Sloane Hornbow, the drummer. Found as a baby in a cornfield and raised by a traveling marching band, Sloane grew up with an innate yet unique sense of rhythm.
Sloane was an immensely gifted percussionist, but she also suffered from having the worst luck of anyone I've ever seen. Sloane, why are you not in class?
Oh, man. So this is my one phone call from jail? Turns out if someone steals your identity, then uses that identity to frame you for stealing that identity? It doesn't look good. Oh, also, you're fucking pathetic.
Their anti-establishment sensibility paired with their pure musical talent earned them a reputation on campus. And it wasn't long before Cassidy, Imogen, and Sloane started collaborating. What started as small dorm room jam sessions turned into local bar and nightclub gigs.
Their first single is what attracted me as their manager. It was about a mythical witch that liked to twirl around a lot, and the lyrics just blew me away.
She was a spooky, ooky, twirly witch, twirling around that spooky swamp.
Their earthy folk rock sound was unlike anything at the time and propelled them to immediate stardom. They dropped out of school and began touring nationwide.
Cassidy stood out as the clear star. She had this mystical quality to her when she performed.
Look, I never set out to make a statement. I just got out there and spun around a lot. And turns out if you spin fast enough, people are like, whoa, this girl's on to something.
And then there was Imogen, who was constantly coming into the studio with new sounds no one had ever heard of.
I really see myself as more of a chemist than a musician, even though I'm not that great at maths. I run experiments in sonic alchemy. It's not about the sounds themselves, but the space between the sounds. For instance, take a dog barking. Now, split that in half, stretch that out, and then run it through distortion, and you get this. Is that simple?
And then there was Sloane, who, due to whatever misfortune befell her that day, rarely made a performance on time. In fact, sometimes we needed to Skype her onto the stage.
Where is she? She's not picking up.
I don't know. Should we just start playing?
Thank God she didn't pick up the phone that day. It actually led to one of their biggest follow-up hits.
I remember that day. I was so shaken up by being held up at gunpoint at a Wells Fargo, I just walked straight into an open manhole on my way out. Turns out it's tough to answer a Skype call when all your fingers are broken. Blah, classic Sloane.
Pick Up Your Phone, Sloane became a record-breaking hit, topping every Billboard chart and earning Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Dykes 20 Grammys that year. They were on top of the world.
We relied on each other. It was like a family, us girls. Like nothing could ever break us apart.
But then came the drugs.
Yeah, we were on a lot of drugs.
For For a while, there wasn't a room we'd walk into without a mountain of cocaine at the center. We actually just started soundproofing the studio with bricks of cocaine.
Not that we needed the soundproofing, we just needed a place to store all the extra cocaine.
It's really impossible to overstate how much cocaine there was. Sometimes when they didn't listen to me, I would just put a little tie on a brick of cocaine and would talk behind it like a puppet. They always listened to Mr. Coke Brick.
But it wasn't long before things began to spiral out of control. Especially for Cassidy.
Cassidy, you're out of control.
Oh yeah? Tell that to the audience, man. They're all out there watching me.
Cassidy, are you on drugs right now?
Oh, I don't know. Let's consult this empty box of drugs. Hey, empty box of drugs, what happened to all of your drugs?
You ate me?
That wasn't a box of drugs, Cassidy. Sloan's entire grad school fund was in there.
Oh man, should've seen that coming. Classic Sloan.
So you mean those weren't drugs? I'm not high right now?
No, you're just a dick. Cassidy, you used to be a role model for young girls. Now look at you.
Sorry, I like to have a good fucking time. Sorry I'm not a rich bitch or a girl who falls on the ground every 5 minutes.
Hey, that is not true.
Ow, shit!
We get it, Cass. You have baggage.
Okay, what is that supposed to mean?
I know you have this weird thing where you feel like you'll never be as cool as your grandmother, but that doesn't mean you can just spin your problems away on stage. We're part of the band too.
Well, not anymore. I'm going solo.
What?
I already talked to Mr. Cokebrick, and he's right. You guys are just holding me back. Bye, freaks.
What followed was a dark period for the three, and a darker period for music lovers everywhere. Cassidy's follow-up solo album, Police State Vagina, was less than a commercial hit.
She was trying to go for a Riot Girl sound, but it was less fuck the police and more just about the general health of her vagina.
Meanwhile, Imogen deepened her understanding of sound landscapes with her album Sonic Alchemy, which honestly barely qualified as music.
Tell us, Imogen, what was your creative process on this album?
I wanted to experiment with sounds that were, how do I say this, fully horrible.
What?
And as for Sloan, well, she was in a coma.
What?
It was rock bottom for the Sundance Dykes, but through a twist of fate, an opportunity presented itself to bring the three back together.
They offered Cassidy the halftime slot at the Drag World Championship after Maroon 5 pulled out. Turns out they finally listened to their own music and killed themselves.
When I got the call, I thought, cool, more money, but I was also like, oh shit, there's a gaping wound at the core of my being and I should probably get around to dealing with that.
Cassidy, what are you doing here?
Same as you, I'm visiting Sloan.
Yeah, right. You don't care about Sloan, you only care about yourself. Now move so I can give her a sponge bath.
You're right. I came here to apologize to both of you.
Oh, shut up.
Look, I went to celebrity rehab and I did a lot of celebrity reflecting and I realized, as a celebrity, Butch Cassidy is nothing without her Sundance Dykes. There's a performance coming up at the World Drag Championships. And I wanted to ask you guys to perform with me.
Even if Sloan wasn't in a coma, I would never perform with you again.
You know what? You were right. I do have baggage. I'm never gonna be as cool as Grandma Kristen Stewart. But you know what? That's fine. Because being cool and looking tired all the time, even though you're not, is overrated and doesn't feel nearly as good as having friends. Bye, Imogen.
Oh my God, Sloan, you're awake.
Whoa. I just had this dream where we were back in our dorms at Vassar and the whole band was back together. And the music we made, it was beautiful. Imogen, it was goddamn beautiful. Anyway, how long was my nap?
And so Cassidy went out on that stage alone.
I was there that night at the Drag World Championship and what I saw, frankly, it took my breath away.
And now, for your halftime performance, Butch Cassidy.
It's just Cassidy now. There's no Butch, no Dykes. And here's my song, Legislate This Clit. They're not...
They're right here.
That's right. I'm out of my coma.
You guys came.
Us Dykes gotta stick together, right?
You bitches ready?
1, 2, 3.
She was a spooky, ooky, twirly witch, twirling around that spooky swamp. You smell like shit and you look like a bitch, but you're my spooky, ooky, twirly, whirly, rumbly, crumbly, stumbly, mumbly witch.
And so, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Dykes solidify their place as the preeminent supergroup of our times, never to be dethroned until some people younger and hotter come along.
Up next on Logo, Million Dollar Fistings.